Let us pray. Almighty God, we're grateful for this morning and ask in Jesus' name that as we continue to worship you, Lord, that you would draw us closer to yourself. God, that you would cause us to hear your still small voice. And Lord, I would pray that you would cause us to get out of the armchairs of life that we sometimes find ourselves. Lord, we ask that you would draw us closer to you. And God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my savior. Amen. In your bulletins, a sheet of paper on one side, it has fill-in-the-blank sermon notes and ample room for you to write down whatever it is that God is speaking to you about this morning. On the other side are some weekly devotions that I would love for you to take home and follow along that flow with the theme of this week. You know, there has been countless conflict between various things, between people, villages, cities, even states, nations, and even continents since it seems like the dawn of man. Oftentimes the conflict has to do with one person's own idea or their own importance over another. For instance, in World War II, it was Hitler's importance over the Germans, and then he convinced the Germans of their importance over Jews and other races, and finally even over other nations. Eventually, as the conflict occurs, it becomes an issue of territory. It becomes an issue of territory. The dominant comes into the weaker person's territory and takes control. It doesn't matter if it's fair, it just happens. Territory changes hands, and next the question is if the one who lost the territory, are they willing to put up the struggle and the fight to gain it back or not? You can lose territory, but will you regain that territory? And when I think of the spiritual realm, I think of how at one point the whole world, the whole territory belonged to God. God who created it. Satan entered into it and it became a virtual spiritual war zone, trying to grab territory from God. I was reading in the last book of the Bible this week, Revelation chapter 12, how Satan is here to do one thing. And it said this. It said, the great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan. And here's his purpose. Who leads the whole world astray. Pretty simple. Pretty simple purpose statement. To lead the whole world astray. To take territory that belonged to God and keep it to himself. And yet, if you read to the end of the book, the last book of the Bible, God regains all the lost territory and all is well for those, and this is where you underline it, for those who seek after and follow God in Jesus Christ. That is the territory that is regained. By the way, how was your experience this last week of being an intentional God chaser? I hope you were intentional about asking the Holy Spirit to help you to develop a more reverent awe of God, to give you wisdom to make you more godly, to help you to renew your desire to be a God chaser. For these are important aspects of beginning or continuing on in being a God chaser. You see, to be a God chaser is more than just believing in God. You hear that? It's more than just believing in God. It's more than just coming to church. I remember coming to church in my high school days, and I went more to please my mom than to chase after God. More than even believing in Jesus as God and as Lord and Savior of your life. A God chaser is more than that. God chaser just in its name, and we note God chaser is a verb in which some action is required, moving us toward God. God chaser is a verb, an action word, which requires action and is required to move us closer to God. So just so we understand this clearly, does believing in God make you a God chaser? No. Does coming to church make you a God chaser? No. Plenty of people come to church and they don't chase after God. Does believing in Jesus as Lord and Savior make you a God chaser? No, it doesn't. Although these are marks of a Christian and steps toward God, they don't make you a God chaser unless these are part of the actions you are taking and continue to take to move closer to God. Does that make sense? Yes, Pastor. But these three steps cannot be all the steps you take, all the actions you take. For instance, you know the story of Jonah. The prophet of God, he's in the Old Testament, and he just did something that startles me. A prophet is one who speaks God's word, the words that God gives to him, a specific message that God wants delivered to a certain group of people. And as we read about Jonah, we find that there's a hiccup in his serving God. A hiccup in his serving God. And hiccup here is a technical term I used to refer to Jonah not entirely doing what God wants him to do. That's a hiccup. Not doing what God wants you to do. And guess what? We all have these kinds of hiccups in our lives. When we look at Scripture, what it states about Jonah's story, the first two verses of the first chapter really tell the whole story of Jonah. Read it with me. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. So the word of the Lord, God's word that Jonah gave to, or that God gave to Jonah, came to Jonah, and God says, go to where? Nineveh. And preach against it because of what? Their wickedness. This is the whole reason for this story. Tell people something from God. And I'm skipping forward. In this case, tell them about the impending disaster they're going to experience unless they repent, unless they turn from it. So the first thing we learn about Jonah is, and we know God wanted to use Jonah to proclaim his message, to proclaim God's message to the people of Nineveh. Then in verse 2, we find out how Jonah responds. And as you read this, ask yourself, have I responded to God this way? But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. Does Jonah seem like a God chaser to you? It doesn't to me. And just so you understand, Jonah didn't just ignore God or ignored what God was asking him to do. He intentionally headed the other direction, the exact opposite direction from where God wanted him to go. And just thinking about this, it's not an ideal response, do you think, that we should give to God when God asks us or reminds us to do something? I just don't think it's ideal. Do you? For instance, God says, love your neighbor, and we say, no. Or we say, who's my neighbor? God says, forgive those people who have hurt you, who have maybe said something a little off about you, who have made a burr under your saddle. God says, forgive them, and we say, no way. And then we put a tagline on it. They don't deserve it. God says, tell others about my love for them in Jesus Christ who died for your wrongdoings so that we can be in a right relationship with God for all eternity. And we say, I'm not so sure I can do that, Lord. Or we struggle when we try. And like any new act, we are always going to struggle at first until we get better at it. You see, as committed God chasers, it's easy for us to note this statement. I don't think God is pleased. I don't think God is pleased when we say no in one form or another to what God is asking us to do. Do you think God would be pleased? No. And so is the case with Jonah. God is not pleased to see him running in the opposite direction that God had asked him to go. Now, it would be helpful for us to understand why Jonah was saying no. You see, Nineveh was a large city in a growing empire of Assyria to the northeast of Israel, about some 500 miles from Jerusalem. We learn from another prophet, Nahum, that Nineveh wasn't a good place. They were plotting evil against God. They were exploiting the helpless. They were cruel in war and a nation full of idolatry, prostitution, and witchcraft. Now, I don't know about you, but based on this list of wrongdoings against God and humanity, it seems like this isn't the kind of people that God wants anyway. So why go? God wouldn't want them. They're sinners. I mean, you probably know people like this. You see them on the news, people doing bad things, they're in jail or they're out for themselves. People who worship idols, the idols of this world like money, power, fame. And what breaks my heart about any type of warfare is when the kids are recruited and brainwashed to consider everyone else, even other groups of people in their own country, that they don't belong, that they should be exterminated. Why would God want to save them? But God does. For God so loved the whole world that he gave his son so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And so Jonah then tells us the reason for not wanting to go to Nineveh in the first few verses of chapter 4. For not taking the 3 days to proclaim God's message, for not telling them to repent and turn to the Lord, which of course is when Jonah finally obeyed. The people of Nineveh received and obeyed God's message to repent and to turn to God. And Jonah then angrily says to God, do you ever get angry, God? Of course not. Jonah says to the Lord these words, read them with me. Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was, you got to read this as though you're angry. Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? That is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Jonah hates these people. Who's my neighbor? Not the Ninevites. Jonah hates them, and though all they do seems to be against God's best, God still gives them a chance to turn from their spiritually evil ways back to God. Why? God is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, who wants all to come to be in relationship with him, who wants all to be God chasers. Of all the parts of Jonah's story and not wanting to help his enemies come to God, there is this one thing. And we note it this way. God wants to expand his territory on earth. There's that battle. Satan wants it. God wants it. If there's one thing I'm certain of, there's a war raging for the hearts and minds of all people that God has created. There's a war in your mind. There's a war in everyone else's mind. God's chief desire for us after coming to know and love God is this, and we note it this way. God wants us to reach out to others with God's message of love so that they would come to know and love God too. And this is war at its very basic level. That first bullet point says, we will give our hearts and minds and souls to the pursuit of God. Or maybe more of the question, will we give our hearts and minds and souls to the pursuit of God? Will we be unrelenting God chasers? Or will we be armchair sitters? To help us become more holy, to help us make godly decisions, to help renew our desire to be a God chaser day in and day out. I remember times when my prayer wasn't, God, I want more of you. The prayer was simply this, God, give me more of a desire for you. Sometimes we have to pray that because we've gotten so comfortable sitting in the armchair and we're not getting up and chasing after God. Jonah at first is very much against helping the people of Nineveh because he hates them and they are the enemy. But is this what God wants? To see people he created lost for all eternity? No. God wants to win back his territory. God wants all people to be saved, to know the love that he has for them, to know that they are loved and to know that they can always come to God. You know there are people out there who believe that God doesn't love them? Do you know that there are people out there who believes that God doesn't care about them? And there are other people still who just don't believe in God. And God says, I want them too. And maybe they are your neighbors. Maybe they are your work associates. Maybe they're your family. God wants them. I have to say that after I really began to know God, it resulted in me in beginning to chase after God with my time. Talking to God as I read His Word and me listening to God's reply. Praying for and helping others in need, whether I knew them or not. And I realized I was expanding my Christian life beyond what I had normally known it to be. And it was tougher than just reading and praying. I had to expand because God was asking me to grow more deeply in love with Him. But God was asking me to grow despite the spiritual war I had encountered in other ways. In giving back to God financially, it was a war. In giving back to God with my abilities in ministry and outreach, there was that battle taking place. Oh, someone else will do it. Someone else will pay. And giving back to God by sharing God's good news of love and everlasting life. Oh, Lord, they already know it. Oh, Lord, they don't need me to say it again. Oh, Lord, I don't even know them. And we note the second aspect or bullet point about warfare is God was asking me to give all of me and all of my possessions back to God for His use. When we're all in, we need to be all in. I made a fatal calculation, which was part of what changed my perspective of becoming a God chaser, one I think Jonah didn't willingly want to make. You see, I asked God to let me see life through His eyes. through his eyes. People hurting and acting contrary to God's will. These people looking strong on the outside, but spiritually empty on the inside. Satan leading people astray. This is what a man named Jabez, only mentioned once in the Bible, of all places in a genealogy, tucked away in a genealogy about the tribe of Judah, this is what Jabez prayed. Read it with me. Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm, so that I will be free from pain. Jabez means pain. Names were given for people who, the name was given, the idea is that his mother suffered pain in Jabez's birth. But Jabez didn't want to experience more pain. He wanted to experience more God. Oh, that you would bless me. Don't you desire God to bless you? I do. And I know Jabez knows too to ask God for those blessings. But it's the next part which shows a different desire than what Jonah had. And that is to enlarge my territory. And certainly we could see this as being a physical territory, but it's also a spiritual territory. Enlarge my territory, Lord. Jabez wants the Lord's hand to be with him and to keep him from harm. A prayer which I'm sure we've prayed from time to time. Bless me, Lord. Enlarge my territory, Lord. Keep me from harm, Lord. It is the expand my territory, though. Unlike the other parts that I doubt we've prayed for or repeated in prayer more often in our lives. Because when I think of enlarging my territory, I've seen it in terms of this spiritual territory. Lord, help me to reach one more person for Jesus. Lord, help me to influence one more person to consider what it means to be in relationship with God through Jesus. Help me, Lord, enlarge my sphere of influence for the kingdom of God. You see, in regard to spiritual warfare, we note this last point. Will we, like Jabez, ask God to expand our territory for God's glory? Will we? Maybe that's that one thing this week you're going to do. Lord, enlarge my spiritual territory this week. You see, the bottom line of Jonah and Jabez is this. Are we going to ask God to take our lives and use them for His glory or not? Or are we going to say, God, thank you for life, but I just assume I live it on my own terms. Live it my own way. Are we asking for God to bless us for our own benefit alone? Or are we going to ask God to bless us and consecrate us for the benefit of others? You see, God desires to retake lost territory, and you're one of His soldiers. So will you speak the words God wants you to speak to another? I love you. I forgive you. I want to tell you about my friend Jesus. And I'm not saying that you should immediately put on a sandwich board and on one side that says the world is going to end. And then on the other side it says repent and turn to God. But God does say that we need to be able to give a reason for the hope we have in Jesus, so that others can know God and become a God chaser too. Bottom line, Jonah did not do what God asked him to do until it was done begrudgingly and not joyfully. Oh, I know what it's like to do something for God begrudgingly. and it's certainly no fun. But with joy, it changes everything. Jabez prayed for more of God, to do more for God, to be blessed by God, to expand a spiritual territory. Will you pray that prayer this week? Lord, bless me and expand my territory for you. Jonah was in relationship with God, but he was a reluctant God chaser. Jabez, on the other hand, was a sold out God chaser. And you know what it says about his prayer? It says, and God granted him his request. Don't ask, don't receive. Which one looks more like you, Jabez or Jonah? Willingly, reluctantly, a God chaser or an armchair rester? What will it look like for you to pursue God more diligently, more intentionally in your life? What do you need to do this week? What do you need to pray this week so that you will be more of a God chaser? You know, I want someone to look at me and say at some point in time, you know, he's a God chaser. Don't you want that too? Let us pray. Almighty God, we are grateful for these characters, these people who have lived and have shown us that sometimes we reluctantly chase after you, or we are reluctant with you. And yet we have these other people, Lord, who give us these prayers to expand our territory, to bless us and expand our territory, that you might be glorified. Lord, we all want others to say of us, there goes a God chaser. And so if we're going to do that, Lord, we're going to say, take our lives and let it be wholly consecrated to thee. And so, Lord, take our lives and let them be consecrated, Lord, to thee. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.